Aw, oh, yeah. Feels good. Feels good.
The time has come to enjoy myself. Hello, greetings and hi there. This is the Head Speaks Podcast, a proud member of the Head Cast family. I am your host, Aaron Moss, also known as Brother Head. Welcome to Head Speaks, where I'll be talking about comics, movies, and recent news items that interest me. Basically anything that strikes my fancy.
Warning! Warning!
This podcast may not be family friendly. Head Speaks may contain adult language, adult content, fantasy violence, and nudity. You have been warned. The young, stupid, and easily offended may not want to listen to this headcast. In other words, parental guidance is more than suggested. Now, before we get started today, let's hear a word from a friend of the show. A secret governmental organization operating behind the scenes. Task Force X.
Task Force X is an off-the-books government strike team made up of convicts with no hope for release, serving as expendable agents for impossible missions. Succeed, and I'll shave time off your sentences.
If we don't,
you'll be dead. Any other stupid questions?
The Suicide Squad, ran by Amanda Waller.
I'm Amanda Waller. I'm here to indoctrinate you convicts into our special forces.
And there's Checkmate, ran by Harry Stein. This is the tales of DC Comics, Suicide Squad, and Checkmate. Mostly monthly from Head Speaks. Available on iTunes under Task Force X and under Headcasts over at headspeaks.com. We can also be found on Facebook and Google Plus under Task Force X. Task Force X. Check it out, or you'll answer to the wall.
Nobody screws the wall!
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Mike.
Man, it sure is great to be back to from crisis to crisis after all this time. It's been a busy year for both of us.
For very different reasons.
But now we're ready to cover the post-death and return Superman stories.
Yeah, and we're about to start the books that came out in 1994, which means that we have so much to look forward to, like Bizarro's World.
The Battle for and Fall of Metropolis.
Superman Doomsday, Hunter, Prey.
Worlds Collide.
Well, you're looking forward to that one.
Oh, bite me.
0 hour.
0 month.
And right there at the end, we have Dead Again.
And don't forget, the Elseworlds annuals as well.
Well, most of them anyway.
Yeah, some of those really did suck, don't they?
But From Crisis to Crisis is back. New episodes will drop on Thursday, just like before.
You can find the show at the Superman homepage, www.supermanhomepage.com, as well as at the Superman Podcast Network, which is at www.supermanpodcastnetwork.com.
And we also have a Facebook page that you can like by going to www.facebook.com/FromCrisisToCrisisASupermanPodcast.com. Is it .com on there?
No.
No, it's not. No .com. Forget that.
So From Crisis to Crisis is back, folks, and better than ever.
Well, I'm better than ever. You need some work.
No, shut up.
No, you 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 shut up.
From Crisis to Crisis, a Superman podcast covering the post-crisis adventures of Superman one half month at a time. Every Thursday at www.supermanhomepage.com and www.fortressofbailitude.com.
And now, back to my show. Okay, here comes my first segment for the day. I finally have a intro for it. So sit back and take a listen, and here is...
Oh, yeah.
A little head. Hope you guys liked that intro. Let me know. Anyways, this week's A Little Head, we're going to talk about... Well, we're going to talk about the birth of my son, Grayson Robert Moss. He was born January the 28th, 2015. As of a little behind the curtain look here, today is February the 10th, so he is 2 weeks old today. When he was born, he was 8 pounds, 8 ounces, and 22 and a half inches long. He was in the hospital 3 days. He was born on a Wednesday. Unlike Solomon Grundy, he was born on a Monday, but then he went home on Friday. Little story about when he was born. So my wife had a cesarean. I was in the room with her in the operating room. You know, they got her cut open, and they're pulling Grayson out. The doctor, a great doctor, named Dr. Mason, Jill Mason, she pulls Grayson out and looks at him, you know, gives him the once-over, and she's like, well, he's 10 fingers, 10 toes, looks perfectly healthy. About this time, my son sent me a text message. He was trying to find out what room we were in. The funny thing about this is, my text tone is the Superman theme from the Superman the movie. So, the doctor's announcing Grayson, you know, saying, here's your son, 10 fingers in, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, the Superman theme plays. The anesthesiologist, I think I'm saying that right. You know, the guy that knocks you out or gives you the drugs. He started laughing. He's like, did you do that intentionally? Did you play that? I'm like, no, my son sent me a text about this time. It's just purely coincidence. Everyone thought it was funny, and it was very appropriate being my son. Anywho, so that was, like I said, 2 weeks ago. He's now 2 weeks old and is growing fine. Also, like I said, his name's Grayson Roberts. Grayson, my wife liked the name of it. We kicked around different names for a while. She wanted a lot of foo-foo, preppy-type names. Landon, Brandon. I've actually got cousins named that. I don't remember now. But yeah, she wanted a lot of preppy names, which I'm not down with. She liked the name Grayson and being Dick Grayson's last name, the original Robin. I was down with it. So she didn't like my suggestions of, you know, Bruce or Ronnie or Raymond, you know. Good comic book characters. And then Robert's named after her dad, Robert Hudson. So, Grayson Robert Moss. Also, as you may be aware, you may not, there is a comic book entitled Grayson. Dick Grayson, the original Robin, became a character called Nightwing. Recently, during the Forever Evil storyline, his identity was revealed to the world. And during that storyline, he almost died. Well, him and Batman talked it over, and they let the world think he's dead, and he's currently working undercover as a spy trying to break up this ring. So he's got a comic book called Grayson. We're buying that comic for my son for when he gets older. We've got the first 7 issues, plus the annual, the Future's End issue. We've got him in a box when he gets a bit older. We've also got issue 1, the first issue of the book. And we've got the 6th issue, which came out in January, the same month he was born, hanging above his crib. I think it was my wife's idea. It's really nice. Hopefully, he grows up to like comics. Otherwise, you know, he's just going to be foobard. But anyways, it's a short segment of A Little Head, but I do have the new intro. Let me know what you think about it. And that is the details on the birth of my son, Grayson Robert Moss. I would have some videos of the conception, but I didn't videotape that because, you know, the wife would get pissed off. And, well, you really don't want to see my fat ass, you know, going to work. But anyways, that's enough making you sick. And that's enough for A Little Head this week. Stay tuned for another advertisement, and then move on to our next segment.
Kalibak to Zod. It is I, Darkseid. I command you to listen to the Who's Who podcast. Uncover the powers and weaknesses of the Super Friends so that I may destroy them.
Aquaman and Superman, Animal Man and Plastic Man, Firestorm and Nuclear Man, Batman and Hawkman, 2D Man and Hour Man.
Who are all these people, man?
They're all part of a DC. Who's who? Ultra Boy and Booster Gold, Lightning Lass and Hippolyta, Phantom Stranger, Etrick and Arisian, Woody Winks.
Hey, hey, hey.
What?
What about that one guy?
What guy?
Mr. Pretzel, Mr. Lipstick, Mr. Mitzelfuzzle?
Mr. Mitzi's Pitlick?
Yeah, him.
He's also part of the DC. Who's Who?
Who's Who, the definitive podcast of the DC Universe.
Available monthly at Aquaman Shrine, Firestorm Fan, and on iTunes and Stitcher as part of the Fire and Water podcast.
And now it's time for...
Bitch and moan, bitch and moan, bitch and gripe, gripe and moan, bitch and gripe, bitch and moan, bitch and moan, bitch and gripe.
Brotherheads, bitches, moans, and gripes. This week on Bitches, Moans, and Gripes, we're going to talk about the zombie apocalypse and how it's now upon us. No, I'm not talking about The Walking Dead or iZombie or any of these other actual zombies. The dead haven't risen from their graves. Cats and dogs aren't sleeping together. We're not at the end of times. Not that zombie apocalypse. I'm talking about the modern day zombie apocalypse. I'm saying zombie apocalypse, well, I'm saying quite a bit, but I'm also saying it with quote air quotes. You know, people are worried about zombies. I guess not a lot of people is actually worried about it, but yeah, you see a lot of people, they're in favor of the zombie apocalypse, or they're talking about what they would do in the zombie apocalypse. I think they're a little too late. I think it's amongst us. And again, as I said, it's not The Walking Dead, but it might as well be. I work at the IRS, as I have said before. I know while I'm walking through the halls, I'll see people with their head buried in their cell phone, either texting or playing games or whatever they're doing, not caring where they're going, walking straight down the path. You know, if you're not watching, they'll run right into you. And then it's your fault, because they've got their head buried in their phone. Also, while I'm driving down the road, sometimes I'll see people with their cell phones out talking on their cell phones or head buried in their phone texting while they're driving down the road. That's the zombie apocalypse I'm talking about. Technology. People's got their heads buried in their cell phone, they're checking Facebook, they're texting, they're Instagramming, they're Twittering, all this other junk. And, I mean, don't get me wrong, I do have a modern cell phone, I've got an iPhone 6 Plus, I do check it once in a while, but nowhere near what a lot of people do. Some people... they can't go 2 or 3 minutes without checking their Facebook, their Twitter. And I know it's a little silly if you ask me. Again, maybe I'm getting old, maybe I'm the old man, you know, yelling at clouds, telling kids to get off my lawn. But I remember a time when people didn't have cell phones and instant access to the internet. I don't think we should go back to those times, because having instant access to information or any information you need, it's very convenient. You know, I'm always using my cell phone to look things up. But I think people need to pull their head out of their phone and their ass and pay attention where they're going. Like I said, I know me personally, I sometimes will read my Nook as I'm walking down the hallways. But when I do, I keep it down. I keep my head up, and I use my lower eyes to look at the page. And I'm also looking up to make sure I don't run into anybody. Make sure, you know, the walkways are clear. And I know several people I've had to move aside otherwise they would have ran right into me. Because why? They're busy, got their head buried in their cell phone, either again texting or Facebooking or whatever the hell they're doing on it. I don't know. Sometimes I think it's better off, you know, it's fine to let go of the world and let everything else go for a few minutes. Don't worry about what everyone else is doing. Don't worry about Cousin Sam's Facebook updates. Put your cell phone away. Look around, smell the roses, look at the sights around you. Look who's walking in front of you, you know, don't run into people. Again, yeah, this is my, you know, I am a bit of an old man, I guess, and this is a bit of my old man complex, but put the goddamn cell phone down, look where you're going. That's all I got to say about that, I guess. Again, another short segment, but not a lot to say about it. I mean, you know who you are if you're one of these people I'm complaining about. If you are, put your phone down, or at least pay attention to where the hell you're going. Wake up, people. Anyways, that's it for this week's, or this month's, this episode's Bitches, Moans, and Gripes.
Hello, I'm Albie.
And I'm Heather.
And we do the Quantum Leap Podcast. It can be found at quantumleappodcast.com and also on iTunes.
We are starting at the beginning of Quantum Leap and going through all the episodes. This is my first time watching, and Albie has seen them during their original run.
In each podcast, we talk about the overall thoughts of each episode. We do an episode recap if you haven't seen them in a while, just to refresh your memory. And then we do a detailed plot discussion.
And we also have some great interviews.
Scott Bakula, I remember being very, very generous of spirit and very, very kind to his fellow actors. It was my first kiss ever. So I am getting to kiss Scott Bakula on screen.
And everybody involved with it was just terrific. And I'm always amazed that people come up to me and remember that episode and can quote things from it that I can't even quote.
So if you're a leaper, it'd be great if you came and joined us. And if you've never heard of Quantum Leap, it's maybe a good time to start watching it because you have a podcast to go along with it.
So please give our podcast a listen, and hopefully you like us and stick around.
Go to quantumleappodcast.com to listen to new episodes.
Faster than a speeding bullet.
The Great Hall of the Justice League.
Spider-Man and his amazing friends.
The Justice League of America versus the Legion of Doom. This is...
What's in Head's Long Box?
Dedicated to truth, justice, and peace for all mankind. The world's greatest super friends.
Okay, kids, and for this episode of What's in Head's Long Box, we're going to have another character spotlight. This week, we're going to cover my second favorite hero. Well, not my second favorite, but my other favorite hero. Last week, we covered Firestorm. Last month, we covered Firestorm. This episode, we're going to cover the Atom, a.k.a. Ray Palmer. Before I get going, I will mention there was an original Atom. His name was Al Pratt. He was a Golden Age hero, part of the Justice Society of America in the 50s when the Justice Society and the superhero comics went by the wayside. Thanks, Wortham. He was one of the ones that went by the wayside. And then in the 60s, early 60s, they started bringing superheroes back, and one of the heroes they reinvented was the Atom. But this time, the original Atom was a short... man, I believe he had some super strength, but he was different than the Atom that I enjoy. The second Atom, Ray Palmer, he was created by Gardner Fox and Gil Kane, and he first showed up in Showcase number 34 in October of 1961. His abilities, as I was talking about just a minute ago, whereas the original Al, the original Atom, he didn't have a whole lot of powers. He was just a short guy, maybe some strength. This Atom was able to grow and shrink and control his body mass. And he can make other items grow and shrink also. Kind of like Ant-Man over at Marvel. I'd have to look and see. I'm not sure who came first, the chicken or the egg. But yeah, this is basically Ant-Man, or DC's Ant-Man. But I think he's a lot cooler. He's a physics professor in Ivy Town. Let's go into his backstory for a little bit. Ray lives in Ivy Town, up in New England area. He found a white dwarf star fragment that and created a lens that would allow him to shrink anything he wanted down. Unfortunate side effect, though, it'd become unstable and explode in a short period of time. Then one day, while splunking, Ray his girlfriend Jean Loring, who was a lawyer, and some of his students got stuck in a cave. The cave collapsed at the entrance, and they were trapped. The only way he could find out was he used the lens to shrink himself down, and he crawled through a tiny opening. He then used a diamond engagement ring he had with him to make the hole larger. He went back in, he used the glass to restore himself, expecting to explode, and to his surprise, he didn't explode. After further experimentation, he decided there was something in his body allowing him to shrink without exploding. Originally, he thought there was some condensation on the lens that caused it to be different, but he experimented and things would still explode. So the only thing he figured out is that there's something in his body, his physical makeup, that allowed him to shrink and return to normal without exploding. Later on, in 2010, some writers retconned that, and they discovered it was some fabric that allowed him to spread the effects throughout his whole body, which saved him from exploding. I kind of like the original. It was just, you know, part of his DNA. But anyways, he went on to develop a costume that only appeared when he was small, and he became a superhero known as the Atom. He could control his size and density and everything through controls in his belt that would affect the white dwarf star fragment and allow him to change his size and everything. He would tend to lower his weight down to zero and glide on air currents, make it look like he was flying. Another big trick he would do, he was, again, he controlled his weight, density and weight and everything. So even like he would make himself real small, he would leap at a bad guy, leaping on the wind currents. We got close. He would give his fist full density of a 180-pound man and just sock the crooks in the jaws and knock them out. That was the big thing with him. And also, he would travel around by using the phone lines. He would call wherever he wanted to go and shrink down and go through the phone lines to get where he wanted to go, which come back a bit later on. He would go on to join the Justice League and have solo adventures in Ivytown, where he was from, frequently helping his girlfriend, later on his wife, Jean Loring, with her court cases. As I said, he was a member of the Justice League of America. The Justice League made him a miniature chair, so when he's at a 6-inch height, he could join in and sit in his little chair with the rest of the group. It was kind of cool seeing a little chair floating around in the comics. Atom would frequently team up with Hawkman. In fact, originally, the Atom had his own series. After a period of time, it wasn't doing so good. So instead of canceling it, they changed it to Atom and the Hawkman. And they had a team-up book for a while. Some of his enemies of note is Cronus. That's his big enemy. The Bug-Eye Bandit and the Floronic Man. Word of note there, the Bug-Eye Bandit, a female version of the Bug-Eye Bandit, because the original one was a guy. They're going to have a female version showing up on the Flash here in a couple of weeks, I believe, when the Atom makes his appearance there. But that's another story we'll get to in just a minute. So anyways, he went along having adventures with both the Justice League and on his own. And then in the mid-80s, Ray finds that his wife's cheating on him with one of her fellow lawyers, a guy named Paul Hoban. I remember reading that was in the, I think it was the Sword of the Atom miniseries. He goes to the window, it's raining, he looks out and he sees his wife's car sitting out there, and he goes out and he finds Jean and Paul canoodling in the front seat. He got upset, so he took off to the South American jungles, where he met a bunch of other 6-inch tall yellow aliens called Morlidians. I could be mispronouncing that. He moved there and lived with them, ended up hooking with their princess, Lethwania. Again, it's L-A-E-T-H-W-Y-N. Lethwine, maybe? Lethwine? Princess Lethwine. He was her consort, if you will. When he left the States, he ended up giving his size-changing belt to Paul. And after he left, his good friend Norman Brawler ends up writing a book, an exposé on the Atom. It was called Atom's Farewell, and it revealed Ray Palmer's identity to the world. This was in the mid-80s. It was the Sword of the Atom miniseries. And there was a couple of one-shots that came out around that time also, 83, 84, 85, in that general time frame. Saray caught his wife cheating on him, divorced her, left a size-changing belt with Paul, the guy she was cheating with, took off for the South American jungles and hooked up, and they didn't have marriage, but he was a consort of Princess Lithuan for these little 6-inch tall, you know, aliens living in South America. Which brings us to the late 80s. The Atom had a new series called The Power of the Atom. This series starts out, the colony was eventually destroyed by the U.S. government. They were disguised as foresters or something like that, coming in, wiping out the South American rainforest. Ray ends up shrinking himself down and calls Ivy Town, calls, I believe it was Norman Braylor, his friend, telephones himself to Norman, you know, to escape the destruction of his home. In doing so, he didn't realize that the call was being routed via satellite, which I guess was never done before that with him. And so he gets routed through the satellite, and something happens, and it causes him to come shooting out the end of the phone. I remember this scene really well. The part where you speak, I guess it'd be the receiver part that you hear out of, explodes, and the Atom comes flying out. And for a very short period of time, he was stuck like at 3 feet tall, and wasn't able to control his powers. He then creates himself a new costume out of the White Dwarf Star fragments, which allowed him to regain control of his size-changing abilities and everything. Also, when he redesigned the costume, he's now able to control his size-changing with his mind instead of a little control on his belt. And also, normally the costume would only appear when he was at 6 inches, or when he would shrink down. Now the costume can appear at any time, so he could be the Atom as full-size height. Later on in that series, Ray would learn that it was actually CIA operatives that was behind the destruction of the Morlandians. They were basically trying to wipe out Ray's home to get him returned to America to return to their services, because he would help him out from time to time back before he took off. So they were trying to get him to come back, and the only way to do that was they wiped out all of his friends in that little village. Ray found out. He ended up fighting him. There was mainly 5 agents that was behind it. And so, you know, and they were trying to get Ray to join up because they wanted someone to shrink down real small to be a spy for them. He ended up causing all 5 of them to get shrunk down, and they formed a little group called the Micro Squad, a little group of spies, if you will. Later on, Ray shows back up, along with his protege, Adam Cray, in the Suicide Squad comic. If you're not familiar with that, you must not be listening to Task Force X headcast, where I cover the Suicide Squad comics. These stories will take place a couple years down the road from where I'm at right now. But if you haven't checked out my Task Force X headcast, check it out. When I say a couple years down the road, we'll get to these stories where Adam shows back up. I'm not going to go into details on that. Later on, Ray, during a storyline called Zero Hour, where they're fighting, basically Zero Hour was DC's way to fix mistakes they made with the Crisis. The Crisis on Infinite Earths came out in 85, and I'm not going to get too much detail here, but instead of doing a clean reboot and starting everything from scratch when they wanted to restart the universe, they restarted most things, but then other series like Superman, they waited like 6 months and restarted that. They restarted Wonder Woman, Hawkman. They started all these series 6 months, 8 months, a year, 2 years down the road. And some of them, instead of setting in the past when the DC Universe was forming, if you will, they made them present day, like Wonder Woman and Hawkman. So DC's saying, well, all these stories in the past took place. Well, but there's some changes because some of these heroes weren't actually there at the time. It was a big mess, and they tried to use this miniseries, I think it came out in 94, called Zero Hour, to fix those. But I'm getting off point. Zero Hour, during that period, Ray, while they were fighting the villain Extrant, he was reduced in age to he was about 17 or so. And he joined and led the 90s version of the Teen Titans. The Teen Titans at this point was comprised of a group of human/alien hybrids. It was a decent read. It wasn't Wolfman Perez's Wonderful Titans that I love, but it was written by Dan Jurgens, who I also think is a phenomenal writer, and he also may have done the art on that. I love Dan Jurgens' artwork also. So this was a good series. I enjoyed it. Also at this point in time, besides just shrinking, Ray's powers increased, and he could also make himself grow taller, which would come up in a later storyline. So he could grow, shrink, still controls his weight and density and all that. Later on, during a different storyline, Ray returns to his normal age and loses his growing powers, so he's back to the standard Ray Palmer that we all know and love. He returns to teaching at Ivy University and briefly mentors Ronnie Raymond, which you guys may remember talking about last episode, is Firestorm. This was after him and the professor was split. The professor went on space, came back, cured Ronnie's leukemia that I mentioned last episode. And for a while there after that, when Ronnie was in solo Firestorm, Ray would help him out, and they would be kind of like a little team. We then get to storylines Identity Crisis and Countdown. In Identity Crisis, Jean Loring, Ray's ex-wife, tried to get Ray back by killing Sue Digby, who was the Elongated Man's wife. It was a decent story, but it did have some problems. I forget exactly, but I know she used Adam's shrinking suit, belt, his old shrinking belt, to phone herself into Sue's place. She attacked her or something like that, accidentally killed her, and luckily she'd brought a flamethrower along with her for some reason, so she used that to destroy the body. Again, like I say, it was, overall the story was decent, but it did have some problems. At the end of the story, of course, the heroes find out that Jean Loring did all this, so they pet her in Arkham. I believe it was Arkham they pet her in. And Ray, at the end of the story, shrinks down and just walks away from life. Walks away from everybody. The next series was the all-new Adam, who was a gentleman named Ryan Choi, who happened to be a pen pal of Ray's from Hong Kong. He took on the Adam mantle after that and became the Adam for a short period of time. And then during the storyline called Countdown and then Final Crisis, Ray finally returned to society. I'm not getting into those stories right now. He had a few other stories after that. And then we had in 2011, 2012, we had what's called the Flashpoint. The world was reset once again. We have the new 52 universe. Now he's working with Shade. And I don't believe he's really a superhero at this point in time. He has shrunk down in a Batman-Superman storyline to go inside of Superman, I believe it was. But yeah, he's not really the Adam like we're used to at this point. Except for I will say that there is a storyline going on in a weekly book called Future's End, which looks at the DC Universe 5 years in the future from now. And in this storyline, Ray is the Adam, and he is playing a big part of that storyline. So again, I'm loving Future's End because it is dealing with Ray Palmer, the Atom. He starts off as long-haired, long-bearded, crazy Ray. I'm not quite sure about that, but it looks like he does become the Atom, as we all know and love a little bit later on. Still working on that series, but I'm liking it so far, so we'll see how it goes. But anyways, that is Ray Palmer, a.k.a. the Atom. Definitely check out, you know, his old series. Check out the Sword of the Atom from the 80s. There was like a 3 or 4 issue miniseries and a couple of one-shots. The Power Atom, again, from the late 80s, early 90s. That was a great series. He was in the Teen Titans in the 90s, written by Jurgens. Another great series. Check out the Atom. Before I finish up this one last point, Ray's appeared in some of the cartoons back in the day. His first live-action appearance, I guess his first live-action appearance was like in the 90s. There was a Justice League pilot that never went anywhere because it was crap. But besides that, his first actual, what I'm considering his first live-action appearance, is in the TV show on CW called Arrow. He's played by Brandon Roth, who played Superman in Superman Returns. I'm kind of liking where they're going so far. I'm not 100% sold on it yet. There's a few differences. In here, Ray Palmer is creating a suit. It's called Atom, A-T-O-M. It's an exoskeleton-type suit. CW's big on giving things acronyms. There's Atom over on Flash. There's the Firestorm Protocol or whatever, which is initials. It's an acronym. I wish they would just give them a name instead of acronym everything, but it's what they do. I don't know if they're going to shrink Atom down anytime soon. He's supposed to appear up in a couple episodes on The Flash, and The Flash team is supposed to help him finish his suit. But I don't know how that's going to relate to, you know, if he's going to shrink down. From what I'm hearing, they're saying he's not going to shrink down right away. I hope so, because he is the Atom, for God's sake. That is who he is and his power. My only real problem with the Atom on Arrow is that, and I didn't know quite why they were doing it this way, and I found out later. In here, he's a rich billionaire type guy. He owns his own company, Palmer Technologies, I believe it was called. He first shows up, he lands his helicopter on top of Queen Consolidated, and he goes down, he buys the company. Like, this isn't quite the Atom. He's not a rich guy making a suit. I find out later that supposedly it was supposed to be Blue Beetle in Arrow. The higher-ups at DC said no, so they changed it to the Atom. I wish they would have changed a bit more while they were changing things, but they got this rich, smart guy creating a suit. They took out Blue Beetle and replaced him with Ray Palmer. You can kind of see, it makes a little more sense what's going on now. It doesn't mean I necessarily like it, but I understand why they're doing it. But that's, so Ray Palmer is on Arrow. Like, say, in a couple episodes on The Flash, he's supposed to show up with his Atom costume. And the team's supposed to help him finish putting the final touches on it so we can actually use it. Again, if he doesn't shrink down by the end of the season, I'm going to be a little upset. Maybe at the beginning of next season, I don't know, but he best shrink down. Otherwise, I will be really upset that they're wasting one of, in my opinion, the greatest heroes around, and they're mucking them all up. But we'll see what happens. Anyways, that's it for this episode of What's in Head's Long Box. Stay tuned for another friend of the show.
Star Trek. Comic books. Mythology. Video games. Toys. Star Wars. Just about any geeky topic you can think of could be covered on the Hammer Podcast, presented by two true freaks. Come join me, Gene Hendricks, for whatever my disjointed mental processes can come up with. And be careful, or you might just learn something before we're done. The Hammer Podcast is available monthly, both on its own iTunes feed and at twotruefreaks.com.
The Ultraverse Network begins now. Over 20 years ago, Malibu Comics debuted The Ultraverse. It may not have lasted long, but the creativity and quality of its titles and creators caught many readers' imaginations when it first appeared and in the years since. This network of fans celebrates the fun and excitement of the Ultraverse and its awesome writers, artists, and characters. Featuring three ongoing podcasts covering a variety of topics, including Nightman and Solitaire, our blog will feature regular coverage of The Strangers, Sludge, Firearm, Ultraforce, and all your other favorites. Look for Ultraverse Network on iTunes and visit our website at ultraversepodcast.com. We are giving Ultraverse fandom a jumpstart.
On your mark, get set. We're riding on the internet.
The internet is really, really great.
For porn.
I got a fast connection, so
I don't have to wait
for porn.
What? There's always some new site
for porn.
I browse all day and night
for porn.
It's like I'm surfing at the speed of light
for porn.
Internet porn, Roman orgy scenes. Internet porn, dominatrix queens. Internet porn, girl on girl on girl on girl on girl on guy on sheep.
Bet you're going surfing on the internet.
Where is Head going? This week on Where's Head Going, we get a twofer. The first time I mention is called CreativeThreatFilms.com. That is CreativeThreatFilms.com. And again, I will have links to this in my show notes on the blog at Head Speaks under Headcasts. Creative Threat Films is my buddy Scott Kessler, a good friend of mine. That's his website for his independent films he's doing. Actually, I guess they're micro-independent films. He's got four movies so far. There's Green River, Restless, which is a wrestling documentary, and then his superhero movies, Paragon and Paragon 2. I definitely recommend checking out Scott's page or site, CreativeThreatFilms.com. Check out his movies. I haven't watched Restless yet or Paragon 2. I've got Restless here to watch, and I'm waiting on Paragon 2 to come in. But I've enjoyed what I've seen so far. He's a great writer. Definitely check it out. And then, well, the next one's not so much a website, but it's a Facebook group called Unite DC Comics Project. It was founded by a buddy of mine named M. Anthony Gerardo. I'm going to read his mission statement, if you will. His mission statement is, Unite fans of the DC Project is my attempt to do just that. The current era of DC Comics is a sensitive topic for old and new fans alike. Both will respond with passionate, opposing points of view regarding any DC conversation these days. New 52 objectors are more than welcome, but we do not endorse or support any boycotts here. Here, we will try to be constructive with our likes and dislikes. I'd like this page to bring jaded DC fans together with new 52 supporters so they may celebrate the best of all eras of DC Comics. Let's come together as comic fans and offer ideas, solutions, and resolutions to what fans think are problems. Let's review new comics and revisit old ones as well. Let's see new and innovative artwork from fans in their portfolios. Let's unite fans of the DC Universe. Again, if you're on Facebook, if you're into DC Comics, check out Unite DC Comics Project. Let them know Aaron sent you. But yeah, definitely check it out. It's a great group, great bunch of guys. Can't really say more about that than that. You know, I enjoy it. I'm always checking it, always commenting on there. So check out Unite DC Comics Project on Facebook. But anyways, again, rather short and sweet, but that's where Head's going this week. I would move on to the Talking to Head section, mail time, but you guys aren't emailing me anything, so we're going to skip that, and we're just going to go to Head's final thoughts. For Head's final thoughts, just to let you guys know, Head Speaks and Task Force X, Mother Headcast, are both on Stitcher Radio. You can check it out at Stitcher.com. Also, on my blog, if you go to headspeaks.com, click on where it says Headcasts. I've got the links there for both Headspeaks and Task Force X. Also, right below the links, I do have an embedded player from Stitcher where you can listen to the newest episodes of both podcasts. Check it out. Let me know what you think. Also, please send me emails, comments on my blog. Let me know what you guys think. These are a bit shorter episodes here, the last couple. Let me know, do you like the shorter episodes? Do you like the longer episodes? Anything you want to hear me talk about? If you're a podcaster, if you want to, you know, maybe Skype in, we can get together and we can talk about something that, you know, we both like. Let me know. I'm up for, you know, talking to other people. Let me know what you guys think. Again, I'm going to do this anyways, but it would help if I know what you guys are thinking and know what you guys would like to hear, what you like to see, what you like to see improved. I'm talking to all, you know, both my regular listeners. Come on, Romero, send me an email. Let me know what you think. Also, if you want to record a message or something, you want to say something on record it in MP3 format, send it to me at head@headspeaks.com, and I'll play it on the air. I'm sure listeners would enjoy hearing some of besides my voice on this damn thing. Anywho, that should do it for this episode of Head Speaks. Let me know what you think. For my end song after the credits, I've played it before. It's going to be a repeat, but in honor of my son's Grayson's birth, I'm going to dedicate this next song to my sons Timothy and Steven and my daughter Alexis. I played this, I think it was my first episode. It's called From Paul and Storm. It's called A Better Version of You. So after the end credits, listen for the song A Better Version of You by Paul and Storm. Thanks. See you guys next time.
What a blast, kid. We sure had good fun while it lasted. Hung out with friends, hit the skins. Next week we're gonna do it again.
Thank you for listening to another great episode of Head Speaks. Be sure to look for me on the web. I can be found rambling on my Task Force X headcast, where I cover all the appearances of the Ostringer Suicide Squad and Kupperberg's Checkmate comic books from the late 80s, early 90s. Both Head Speaks and Task Force X can be found on iTunes and over there on Stitcher Radio. My home on the inner tubes is my official website, headspeaks.com. HEADSPEAKS.com. Links to my blog, which contain follow-up information to this and every headcast, can be found there. I'm also over on Facebook at Head Speaks, the community, not the page. That's somebody else. On Google Plus, look for Head Speaks. Please feel free to email me your bitches, moans, and gripes to headspeaks@headspeaks.com. Also, feel free to email any compliments you have also. And if you want to be heard on Head Speaks, you can go ahead and record a message and you can send it to me at head@headspeaks.com and I'll play it on the air. Be sure to join us here next time for another fun-filled headcast from your friendly neighborhood brother Head. And hey, be sure to tell a friend. Until next time, I'll see you in the funny pages.
Little man, get up out of bed and wipe all the sleep from those eyes. I know that it's late, but we just couldn't wait to tell you our big new surprise. Remember that night about 3 months ago when you walked into Mom and Dad's room? And then how we talked of the birds and the bees and arousal and climax and wombs. Well, 6 months from now, you'll be a big brother. That's right, little tiger, it's true. Mommy and Daddy are making a better version of you. It might be a boy, just like his older brother, but without the flaws holding you down.
Holding you
or
down.
If we are lucky, we could have a girl like we wanted the first time around. Maybe this new person won't wet the bed or bug us for candy and toys.
Candy and toys.
Bet the new you will shut up when we tell them and not make so much goddamn noise. To the 5 years we've had you to practice on, now we know what not to do. Mommy and Daddy are making a better version of you. Can you imagine the things he'll achieve as a doctor or a lawyer or Indian chief? He'll be an astronaut, he'll bring world peace, he will win the world and cure all disease. He will be handsome and he will be popular.
get to watch. It's a lot for a 5-year-old boy to take in, but we know that you're brave and you're tough. We ask that you give to him all of your love and your bedroom and all of your stuff. It's not a replacement, it's more like an upgrade. It's our little guy version 2. Mommy and Daddy are making the buns in the oven and baking.